Hi, and welcome to the second episode of the Vita Player podcast. My name's Sven Harvey, and you may remember me from not only the Vita Player website, but also Geekology and Amiga Mart in Micromart.
And I'm Simon Plum.
And I'm Ben Gove.
Now, thank you to everybody for downloading or listening to the first show, and thank you for all the positive feedback we've had online so far.
And for those of you who did listen last time, I want to apologise for the phone that you kept hearing ringing in the background all the way throughout. My daughter's actually been kind of told off now, so she won't be ringing during the show.
Excellent. What we're also going to be doing later today, I mean, obviously we're going to be going through similar things like we did last time, but the main part of the show will be about PlayStation Mobile, considering the recent developments.
But first, we're going to be talking about PlayStation TV, following the massive price cut that Sony initiated to the console that took place a couple of days ago.
Absolutely, with it coming down to $44.99.
So, what do you two think about that, guys?
Well, hopefully it'll get a few more people buying one.
Because obviously, I mean, we've all got one of them, and we've had one of the consoles now for a few weeks, a couple of months. Do you really think this is going to make a positive difference for the system?
You definitely hope so. now that it's at, I think, at a reasonable price, considering you would need a joypad with it, or a controller, and still a memory card, hopefully it will sell better this time around. I thought the original price was far too much, considering the extras you needed, and I thought it should have released roughly around the £50 mark to start with.
I mean, one thing that's always had me sort of wondering what Sony were playing at, and I know, Sven, you felt the same, America always had the PSTV on its own, plus another bundle which had the DualShock 3, a memory card, plus a, I think it was a Lego... the Lego Mega Pack and the Lego Movie Game, and for some unknown reason we never actually received a bundle pack like that.
Yeah, so, quite absolutely ridiculous. I mean, this is the thing, is now is the time, frankly. Surely we should be at $99.99 for the PlayStation TV and a pad and a memory card. It comes with three games. That's all you need, surely.
Yeah, I mean the games it comes with, I mean, while not every game bundle is going to be to everyone's taste. I mean, we mentioned Ollie Ollie in the last show, which is one of those games that you either love it or hate it. Yeah. But of the three games that come with it, there is something there for everybody.
Well, yeah, exactly.
I think Sony made a fantastic choice of games because it shows the diversity of the system and what it plays.
Yeah.
So I don't think bundled games are necessarily needed, but definitely shipping it without a memory card or controller is... Oh, yeah, lunacy, really.
It should at least have an 8GB memory card in, because the 1GB built-in memory is practically useless.
Yeah, and as I said when I reviewed the console on the website, that as soon as you put in any memory card into the system anyway, that 1GB becomes inaccessible.
Yeah.
So that 1GB really is pointless having it in the first place.
Quite. Absolutely.
Okay, admittedly, that problem actually applies to the 2000 series PS Vita anyway, or people know it's
same,
slim.
Same board, yeah, so same main board in both of them.
It's weird that we haven't had a bundle. I mean, stick it with a DualShock 3, memory card, and they'd fly off the shelves at a sub-£100 price.
Yeah, I mean, this is the thing, when you bought your TV, did you not get a controller with it from Argos?
I bought the PlayStation TV, DualShock 4, but then I still had to go out and get a charger cable because the DualShock 4 doesn't come with one.
Of course. Because, oh, that's ridiculous.
Which was absolutely astonishing. So there I was. I think I spent best part of £150.
Oh my God. It hadn't dawned on me you'd need to buy the cable separately. That's ridiculous. I mean, I know it's only a standard Android sort of like charging cable, essentially, being as it's like USB to nano USB or micro USB or whatever you want to call it. But yeah, oh God, that's ridiculous and insane.
So when you actually add all of that up, really, PS3 controller, well, DualShock 3 controller with the charger cable.
Yeah, that would help.
And so there I was running around when I actually took it out of the box to set it up. Got the DualShock 4 in my hand ready, thought, great, this is going to use it. Got my PS3 charger cable, plugged it in, and thought, hold on, this does not fit. How am I going to use the thing? So
oops.
So So I thought, so in the end, like, I got my DualShock 3, plugged that in, thought, great, I can start using it. And in the end, I grabbed one of my old phone charger leads.
Yeah, it's the same cable, isn't it?
But the fact that I, and that's how I'm charging it up now, but the fact that it didn't come with something as simple as a charger lead for the controller. But the assumption Sony had was that the people who were buying the PlayStation TV, and this comes back to what we said last time, is this being sold as an add-on for people who have already got a PlayStation 4?
Instead of it being a micro console that kicks the backside of every other micro console.
I mean, I would assume that the bundles they've had in America with the controller and the games have got the charger.
And again,
the pack in Japan.
Yeah.
With the controller, which has got the white version of the...
Right.
Yeah, the Vita TV, yeah. The controller.
The PlayStation Vita TV, yes, the correct name for the machine. But when you got it from Argos, yeah?
Yeah, I got it from
Argos. Was there not a discount on the DualShock 4 when you bought it with the PlayStation Vita TV?
Oh, don't
get a tenner off or something?
Don't go down that road. I reserved everything online.
Yeah.
And Argus decided to change the price on the day I went to collect it.
Oh!
I think the controller was 50.
Yeah.
And the PS TV was 85.
Yeah.
But this is obviously on the day, on day one.
Yeah.
Went in to collect it on the Saturday.
Yeah.
And they had pushed the price of the controllers up by £10.
So to RRP at 60.
After what? Because there was no actual deal at the time. There was no offer price.
Oh, right, okay.
But they'd actually just reduced the price for, as a limited period, to £50 for the DualShock 4.
Oh, I see. Right.
But when I went in to collect it, they'd told me, no, this is what the price is. It's gone up. So I told them, no, this is the price I'd reserved it at. And they was having a bit of an argument in the store when the price had gone up by a tenner.
Oh, I see. Oh, well, fair enough. Sorry, I got the feeling it had been in a buy one and get some money off the other.
No,
I was just thinking if that had been an official, if that was Argos being the only one doing a bundle, would be hilarious.
Although Argos seems to be the best place to actually, well, the one place that seems to be promoting it properly, I think, as a store.
Well, yeah, and they were the first one to drop the price when Sony made the announcement, didn't they?
Yeah. I mean, Amazon have only just dropped the price today to the £45 price tag.
Okay.
Up until earlier today. Okay, I know most people will be listening to this in a couple of days' time after we've recorded it.
Yeah.
But as of today, which is the 29th of March, just so people know, Amazon were doing it for £10 above the RRP.
Okay.
It took Amazon a couple of days to actually rectify the price.
Okay.
Game didn't drop the price until about 4 or 5 hours after everybody else.
Yeah.
And
they've only dropped it to £45, and they're saying it's a limited time offer in their Easter sale. It's like, chaps.
No, most places I've seen with game, including online, this is actually a normal price.
No, it's in the Easter sale. It's very big and blistered on the leading site saying it's an Easter sale item.
That's weird.
Naughty. But there we go. Which actually, Consumer Protection Act could have them for that, because suggesting it's a limited time offer when it isn't is misleading pricing. But there we go.
One thing I have noticed, though, there does seem to be a lot of interest online for it now.
Yeah.
And there's a lot of people talking about the PlayStation TV in a very positive light. A lot of people do seem to be very eager to get their hands on one.
Yeah.
Again, I mean, talking about Amazon, they track sales of games, consoles, hardware, software and everything on a daily basis. And over the last 24 hours or so, sales of the PlayStation TV have increased almost 1,500%.
Cool.
Which is a massive jump.
Yeah, but from what? That's what worries me.
Well, it's got to the point where the PSTV has actually got into their top 10 bestsellers at the moment.
Okay, that's pretty cool then.
So it's doing well. I mean, there's generally interest everywhere for the PSTV. There's a lot of people talking about it. There's some people being negative, saying there's nothing's going to run on it. You can't run any Vita games.
We have a list that says otherwise.
Yeah, and people are actually referring to our list at the moment, and to another one that's run by website Vita Reviews.
Oh, okay.
And they actually run, they're compiling the list of American games.
Cool.
So people are referring to both of our lists rather than Sony's list and saying, yep, all this stuff does work, it's worth
Sony's
getting.
Sony's list's a joke, that's why.
There hasn't been a lot of updating to Sony's list. There's been a couple, there have been a couple of minor updates since their list was first published, but not a lot. But for the most part, Sony's list hasn't been updated. It's still inaccurate. It's still missing a lot of stuff.
Yeah.
But people are referring to ours and Vita Reviews list now and saying, well, actually, there is a lot of stuff that works. And the people who have been quite negative about thinking about the PlayStation TV, even with this price drop, are seeing what does work. They're seeing these lists and they're thinking, yep, I will get one. And I've seen so many people posting online the last 24, 48 hours who are going out and buying them.
Yeah.
Now, whether these are PS4 owners looking to get one for remote play,
I very much doubt it.
I don't know, because I know remote play was an issue for a lot of people to start off with, and with the quality of it, but since the new system update, people have actually said there's been a massive improvement. Mm. So again, there's people buying it now for remote play.
Oh, okay, cool.
I should have to retry it again. There was one guy on one of the forums who'd actually bought a PSTV originally, tried it with remote play, wasn't impressed, got rid of it.
Yeah.
Since the new update last week, he'd seen it running again and has gone out and bought a PlayStation TV again.
Oh, okay, fair enough.
So he's been impressed with the changes.
Cool, that's nice to know.
So there's people taking an interest in remote play on the PlayStation TV, but the Vita side, again, it's getting people quite eager to see what it can do.
Yeah.
But I think there's a lot of significance, I think, for us as Vita owners as well. It's going to get into the homes of a lot of PS4 owners, especially at this new price point. I think what we're going to find, I think, is a lot of PS4 owners are going to have the PlayStation TV now, and that's not going to make any difference to us.
Yeah.
But for me, I think there's going to be potentially those people may try the odd Vita game here and there. They're certainly going to try the ones that get bundled free.
Yeah.
And some of those could then think, well, if they like those games, what else is the Vita going to have to offer them? So we could be looking at potentially new active Vita owners.
Yeah. So hopefully it's literally stealth marketing, as we said last time.
Exactly.
Into the house, the Vita software may be picking up a bit more interest simply because people have got something to just give it a try on. So, yeah, fingers crossed.
Well, this is the thing. I mean, there's so many good Vita exclusives out there.
Yeah,
and I think that's the way to look at it. Really, I mean, if there's a lot of good. I mean, anyone who's interested in JRPGs, which...
Yeah.
I know I keep coming back to JRPGs, but...
One or two, yeah.
But there are a lot of good exclusive JRPGs on the Vita.
Yeah.
And if someone's interested in those, I mean, with Final Fantasy Type-0 just coming out on the PS4, if someone's got a PlayStation TV and they're interested in looking for something else, then using the PlayStation TV is going to give them that extra catalogue to look at that's going to complement their PS4.
Exactly.
So I think there's a lot of potential there. So I think we've got some interesting times ahead.
What I'm hoping is that the we'll see a sustained increase in interest in the Vita as a format across both the PlayStation TV and the handheld, so that we actually see some investment in developing the system software a bit more, because all they seem to be worried about at the moment is making it work better with the PlayStation 4.
Yeah.
And hopefully see some of the features that really should already be in it come along, like Netflix in the UK.
Well, this is the thing again. I mean, with this boost in sales, it could again help push it as a TV box as well.
Yeah. I mean, okay, we can still use YouTube through the browser.
YouTube, we've got.
I just hope people realise there's a browser on it.
Yeah. I mean, we've still got TuneIn Radio that works.
Yeah.
So we've got, we have actually got two sort of media services we can use.
Yeah.
But that's about it so far. I
mean, it really wouldn't hurt to have a proper iPlayer, a proper version of Netflix and so on and so forth. Those really would help immensely. I'm just trying to think some of the other things. I'd like to see the MP3 player get sorted out.
Yeah.
So you can make playlists, which you could then possibly copy onto a memory stick and then stick into your PlayStation 4. Because at the moment, yeah, PlayStation 4 can only do music off a stick, which is just ridiculous. I'd also like to be able to, you know, so use the shoulder buttons in the music player. Minor point. I'm just trying to think. What, I mean, that's ridiculous. You can use them. You could use them on the YouTube app when that was still running, but yeah, you couldn't use them in the music player or the normal video player. It was like, duh.
Well, I don't know if they've actually improved that now, though, because they have updated the video player.
Oh, okay. I'll have to another check of it.
Because that was actually something that was tweaked as well, so the video player has been updated in the latest, right, cool, in 3.50.
Okay, I'll have to have another play with that. I've only, to be honest, the update was in, it's been in the last couple of days, hasn't it?
It was a couple of days ago, yeah.
Yeah, so I haven't really played with it much since then. But
The big thing for me with 3.50, I mean, I know we're kind of rambling on there, the big thing for me with 3.50 was the accessibility functions, though.
Yeah, yeah.
I mean, those were absolutely fabulous.
Well, I've already darkened my menus, so...
Yeah. I mean, I know with your eyesight, some of the issues with you, I mean, that must have been a godsend for some of those.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. Hugely. So, yeah. That's gone on both my handheld and on the TV. The handheld, I think it was more useful on, though.
Mm.
But, yeah, absolutely. So, wait, I'm just trying to think if there's anything else we should mention about the price drop. Yeah.
I mean, anything else from you, Ben, or...?
No, I think...
Are you just listening to us waffle on it?
No, it's absolutely fine. I think the price is at where it should be now. I agree about the bundles. I think you want to get a nice bundle out there with a controller, or someone wants to do a discounted bundle with everything included, memory card, charge cable, controller, PlayStation TV as well. If someone were to do that and reduce the whole lot into a nice little bundle, I think it will sell fantastically well. It's like they're selling, here you go, here are three games, here's a PlayStation TV, but we're not going to give you anything to actually play it with.
Yeah, right.
Which, and I know you said it's obviously being aimed at people that have a PS4, but really, if you think about it, it's an entry level a console for a lot of people, and as Sven said, you want an iPlayer on there. You want Netflix. You want Amazon Prime. You want, you know, Five on Demand. Well, who demands on Five? I don't know, but Channel 4 as well. You want all these type of things on there. Music services, video streaming. If you had all that on there, it would blow everything out the water. Everything.
Something supporting ultraviolet. There's a thought.
Well, the thing is, with the pricing now, at the right as it stands now, it's the cheapest console on the market.
Yeah.
And that's something that Sony should really be playing up on now.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, it's, you know, a
console... It's actually got to the point now, I don't know if you're aware, but finding a DualShock 3 is actually really hard work out in the wild right now, because there just isn't any stock running around. And when you do find them, they're almost as much as a DualShock 4.
Yeah.
Now, I'm just wondering if you see it from the other way around, is that people who've got DualShock 3s and a PlayStation 3 that has died, whether they're going to be looking at the PlayStation TV and think, oh, £45 and I can use my DualShock 3 on it.
Yeah.
Ooh.
That's an interesting point.
Yeah. But nobody's going to pick up on it, because that would require some sense.
The thing is, I mean, another thing to look at, there's a lot of DualShock 3 clones out there that you can pick up for sort of like 10, 15, 20 quid. Mm. And whether that's an option some people might want to think about. So, you know, 60, 65 quid, and you've got a full PlayStation TV setup.
Question is, I mean, most of those would be wired, though, wouldn't they?
You can get wireless for £20.
But they're not Bluetooth. They'll be using a dongle. So whether the dongle will work or not is another question entirely. I think that might be worth the test if anybody wants to try that one. But this is the other thing. Sorry, say again.
So I think I've got one with a dongle, actually, the kids use.
There we go.
So I can try that out. That's
something
my
to
next
test.
Project.
Yes,
my next project.
But the one thing that I said, I don't know if you guys remember, is when the PlayStation Vita TV was first announced for Japan, is I pointed out the fact that there's that lovely USB port's on the back of it,
yeah,
screaming, please plug in a hub.
Yeah.
Because then you could plug in keyboard, mouse,
yeah,
hard drive, so on and so forth, and turning into a development kit. Sorry, am I making too much sense here?
You're not going to go down this route again, are you?
Yes, I am. Look, I know so many people have got laptops these days and stuff like that, but if you could turn the Vita TV into a small development unit, you know, we could possibly get some of the bedroom programmers who no longer have an avenue to sell their stuff. PlayStation Mobile. We'll come back to that, shall we, gentlemen?
I'm not saying a word on that one.
Not yet.
I just want to look paint on it. I don't care.
You can't say that happening if it's EA.
EA? EA? Okay, personal paint. I'll let them off. Look, I'm going to have an Amiga emulator running on it just to piss people off, I swear.
Anyway, moving along.
Very clean.
So Simon, what are you playing?
Right, at the moment, it's yet another mixed bag. I've really been getting into the Amazing Spider-Man. I managed to pick up a pre-owned copy for the amazingly cheap price of
how spectacular!
Managed to pick that up for about $7.99.
Okay.
I've been playing that quite a lot. I don't think it runs at the Vita's native resolution, but it's a lot better than I thought it would be. Some brilliant sort of web-slinging sort of physics, so I think I spend more time just sort of...
So let me get this straight. You're enjoying the swinging action?
It just plays and feels like Spider-Man.
Okay.
Yeah, but I've been enjoying playing that. One little bit kind of annoyed me where there's some side missions that you have to do in and around sort of Manhattan, and I kind of progressed part of the storyline and these side missions had disappeared, and that's kind of the only little niggle I sort of found. Generally pretty good voice acting as well. Graphics are quite good. Little bits of slowdown here and there, but for a full city with quite a good draw distance in the graphics,
yeah,
it's something you come to expect. But a game that I would, playing it now, I wish I'd actually picked it up at full price when it first came out.
Okay.
Sticking with Vita games, the Vita port of Zoldner X2 Final Prototype.
Okay.
That one I absolutely love. You play that and you don't think you're playing a Vita game. Absolutely breathtakingly gorgeous sort of side-scrolling shooter, and they've done, East Asia Soft have done an incredible job porting that from the PS3.
Yeah.
I mean, I tend to alternate between playing that on the Vita and the PlayStation TV, and when it's running on the PlayStation TV, you don't know that you're playing a Vita game.
Oh, that's cool.
It really does just look like the PS3.
Oh, excellent.
60 frames a second, and it's just jaw-dropping. And the Vita version's been enhanced as well, so it's got a better balance with the difficulty levels. Adapts to how you play, so if you're not the best of players, it'll make the game easier. The better you get, the tougher it makes the game.
Okay, that's pretty cool.
And then back to the JRPGs. Well, I've completed Tales of Hearts R now.
Okay.
So now I've moved on to Luna Silver Star Harmony, which is a PSP title. So okay. I've got that from the store now, so I'm just starting on that one.
I take it that's on the British store, yeah?
Yeah, it's on the EU store.
Okay.
So I've picked up that, and I'm giving that one a go.
Fair play. So, yeah. Excellent. So that's well, what... yeah, after last time and you telling me about Fat Princess Piece of Cake, I've been playing that, and it's basically caused some kind of cascade effect in my brain, resulting in multiple puzzle games being played. Bullion Blitz,
oh, yeah.
PlayStation mobile game, British developers, just happens to be the developers who are working on a little game called Shadow of the Beast. I've been playing that a bit. Yeah. I've actually bought, because it's free to play when you first get it, and I actually bought the extended version of it with all the extra modes and stuff, so that's pretty cool. And on the PlayStation TV, because Bullion Blitz doesn't work on the TV for the obvious reason that you'd have to put your TV on its side to use it.
And the fact it's all touch control.
Yeah. I've been playing Germinator.
Yep.
Which is basically Puzzle Bobble. Which is quite cool, but with engorging things. Yeah.
Engorging things.
Engorging things. See the review on the website, dudes, okay? So what are you at, you, Ben? What have you been playing?
Right, well, because I'm off, I get the chance now. I play it on my commute now. To and from work, you see. So
excellent.
But I've got an hour and a half commute either way. So I get plenty of time to play on it now. And I have been playing Ace Combat, Joint Assault, which is FP game.
Yeah.
I'm a sucker for Ace Combat. I was heartbroken when they took one over to the Xbox side, and I couldn't wait for a PS4 version. Not happy with the free-to-play PS3 version, but I've gone back to the PSP one on my Vita, because I just can't do without it, I'm afraid. It seems to run pretty well. Unfortunately, obviously, you've only got the use of one stick, as it's a PSP game. It's a bit different than using both analog sticks on a DualShock 3. It takes a little bit of getting used to, but it's pretty much the same game I've known and loved for years now. God, decades. So that's my main... That's the main game I've been playing. I've also been playing... I know you two have mentioned Fat Princess Piece of Cake. I'm going to go down a slightly different route with this one. I've actually been playing Gun House, which is a mobile game. And instead of matching three, you have to match four in a block shape. And then you have to move the block either towards your defense or your attack, and basically you get waves and waves of creatures, monsters, some sort of vehicles coming at you to steal the children that are inside your tower, and you have to use these power-ups to keep them away, basically. I'm not very keen on puzzle games usually, but this one is I've been playing that for quite a while now, a fair few weeks, and I just keep coming back to it. I'm not usually like that with puzzle games at all. I'll usually play them once, sort of potter about with them a bit, and then I'll just think, no, I'm not too keen on that. But Gun House, I'm actually pretty impressed with. And then lastly, and this is a good advertisement for any PlayStation mobile game, the longevity of it, is Front Wars, a turn-based strategy game. I don't know if either of you guys have ever played a Advance Wars game. I probably shouldn't have said that, actually, since Jeff Mint has got into trouble with games looking like Tempest. Don't know if Nintendo will start getting the lawyers out, but it's pretty much the same as Advance Wars, just without the superpowers that you get in that. There's no story. You don't really need one, though, to be fair, and it's just a fantastic turn-based strategy game with tanks and planes, soldiers, and that one has Not before. I bought, I'm going off on a bit of a tangent, I bought the Order 1886 for PS4. It did only take me 12 hours to finish, and that cost £40. But this cost £3.39, and I've easily gone past that playtime. I think I'm clocking in, if I'm being honest, I've been playing it for about 3 weeks. Probably got about 20 hours out of it already, and I still haven't finished the campaign. So it's been really impressive.
And that's another PlayStation Mobile one, isn't it?
Yeah, that's another one. Yeah. Like I said, just really impressive. Like I said, I'm a bit worried about comparing it to Advance Wars, but it is pretty much the same sort of thing. I don't know if either of you guys have played that.
I've played similar ones to it, but yeah. not that one in particular. But
I had Field Commander on the PSP, and again, I would make the same comparison. It's basically Advance Wars, just with a more realistic theme. But Front Wars is exactly the same, yeah. Turn-based. It's exactly the same, just like I said, the powers are missing from your units. Usually they would have special powers in Advance Wars or Field Commander. You're like, this platoon will give you 2 extra speed or something like that. But you don't get any of that. And the level design is... I was quite surprised by it. I wasn't expecting to have levels... so varied levels. Some, it's a bit like... some levels you're given plenty of... vehicles and units, and some levels you're only given about 4 units, 4 soldiers, and you've got to sneak past an entire sort of army on your way to the enemy HQ. You've got to use the terrain around you. Tanks obviously can't go over mountains or anything like that, but and the rivers and streams and lakes, and you get to use different types of units. But it's been brilliant. Like I said, I think I've put nearly 20 odd hours into it, and for the price, it's a fantastic advertisement for the mobile games.
And talking of PlayStation Mobile,
I think that's what a link.
Exactly. Yeah, so PlayStation Mobile, Sony in their infinite wisdom. Earlier this month, Sony have announced that PlayStation Mobile is basically having the plug pulled on it. About 2 weeks ago now, I think it was through the Japanese Sony website, they announced that PlayStation Mobile was ending. Games are still going to be released for the next few months, right up until 15th of July.
Yeah.
As of that point, games aren't going to be available for purchase anymore. And if you've already got any PlayStation Mobile games in your collection, or you've bought any, you're only going to be able to keep downloading them until September.
Yeah.
So if you need to re-download them, you can carry on doing that. After that point, every single PlayStation Mobile title is being taken off Sony servers.
Yeah.
So if you need to if you've got any issues with games, that's it. You've got until that point. Developers are still going to be allowed to keep updating their games and release patches. So there will be patches available after 15th of July.
Yeah.
But again, there's that September deadline. The developers themselves weren't told about this by Sony, and they all found out about 2 weeks ago.
There
was no consultation whatsoever.
Yeah.
No reason has actually been given by Sony for what's happened. It was literally just, we're closing the service down, that's it, no warning. Their developers haven't been offered any sort of support, compensation or anything.
Yeah.
But this is an entire library of well over 400 titles for the Vita that in about 3 or 4 months' time is going to disappear. So the Vita is losing over 400 titles.
It's mind-boggling, isn't it?
There's a lot of people that are just absolutely stunned by this decision. I have to admit, as a big PlayStation Mobile supporter, there's a lot of stuff that isn't particularly good on PSM.
Yeah.
But there's some absolutely stunning games.
Yeah.
I don't want to particularly spend too much time name-dropping here, but we've got things like Life of Pixel, a lot of games from Thomas Hopper. I don't want to pick one or two out of his, but pretty much everything written by Thomas Hopper, Mike Oliphant, who wrote the Quiet Please series.
Yeah.
We've had games like Switch Galaxy, which has ended up prompting a PS4 and Vita port. Tiki Pod, who brought us Aqua Kitty and Rock Boshers, which again have both been ported to the Vita and PS4. And that's just to name a couple. And all of these have been budget price pocket money games, and there's been some fabulous stuff out there.
Just for the listeners, in case they're unaware, Simon's just mentioned that they've been ported to the Vita as well.
Yeah.
And that might be a little bit confusing. PlayStation Mobile was basically originally set up to provide a unified platform across the Vita and PlayStation Mobile phones, PlayStation branded mobile phones like the Sony Z3.
You say that, but the Z3 wasn't.
Wasn't it? Was it Z2?
What they did was PlayStation Mobile was, the way it was set up to work was that phones had to conform to certain hardware standards.
Yeah.
And if they did, then Sony allowed them to be PlayStation certified.
Right. And
if they were, they could run a small Android app, which then allowed them to run software that basically ran under this app.
Yeah.
So it was basically like a sort of a wrapper to run the PlayStation Mobile games within that.
Yeah.
So there were Sony phones, there were Samsung ones, so there was phones from a wide range of manufacturers, as well as tablets and so on. Sony stopped supporting the PlayStation Mobile app for phones some time ago.
Yeah.
But they'd also changed things beginning of this year when they implemented support for the Unity development platform as well.
Yeah.
So then PlayStation Mobile wouldn't run on newer titles anyway, wouldn't run on any mobile phone.
Okay. Fair.
But the older PlayStation Mobile titles won't even run on the Z3 anyway.
Oh, okay. Because the Z3 did have the app available for it.
The Z3 didn't.
Okay.
The Z1 did. I think the Z2 did, but the Z3 doesn't.
Okay, because I've just found it being referred to, but never mind, okay.
It's weird because the Z3 has actually got a PlayStation app.
Yeah, I know.
But not the PlayStation Mobile one.
Okay, apparently it was available for about 2 weeks on it.
Ah.
Because it was one of the things that was supposed to be, they were talking about when they were doing pre-orders for it.
Ah.
And they must have pulled it. Yeah, because they were deciding to close it down. Yeah.
That would explain it then.
Yeah.
So my wife's got the Z3 and it's not actually on her phone because she's actually got quite a large PlayStation Mobile collection.
Yeah.
Which she used to play on a Z1.
Yeah.
So she's not particularly happy about PlayStation Mobile going as well.
Yeah, that's understandable.
But this is the thing, the fact that people have bought a lot of PlayStation Mobile games and now they're suddenly being told, hold on, I've paid all this money, I've got these games, and Sony are telling them now that these games are going to be inaccessible starting
which is ridiculous.
July, September. And one of the big things with PlayStation Mobile is that, you know, as it stands, they perform this license verification for them to be able to run them. Sony have got a workaround with this starting next month, that once all of your devices need to be registered and activated that are PlayStation Mobile compatible.
Yeah.
So it will remove the need for the license verification.
Right. Okay.
So at least after September, when everything's all offline, you don't need to worry about not being able to run your games.
Yeah.
But you do have that issue that once the service is gone, if you do have any problems, any faulty memory cards, or if you do need to re-download them or free up space on your memory cards, what do you do? So Content Manager is going to be the most important piece of software ever for PlayStation Mobile fans.
Quite, exactly.
But it makes no sense. I mean, from a developer's point of view, and I would guess from Sony's point of view, a lot saw PlayStation Mobile as kind of a replacement for minis.
Well, yeah. That's exactly how I saw it.
Yeah, it's bite-sized games, pocket money prices, and it gave that chance to for smaller developers to get their games out there and get them seen.
Yeah, exactly. Because the fee structure was quite different to the normal Vita one, isn't it?
Yeah, it's it's fairly affordable for developers. I mean, it's quite a, I think Sony take, I think about, I think so, either Sony take a 40% cut or the developers get a 40% cut from the sale price. So it's not the greatest of earnings for games, but considering a lot of these developers are, you know, one or two people writing games from home and getting their first title, their early titles actually onto a PlayStation device,
it's a massive, important thing.
It's a big break in programming.
Yeah.
But what a lot of developers are pretty annoyed about right now is the fact that they've written these games. Some are still being published all the time. I mean, there's anything up to 8 or 9 new games a week being released.
Yeah.
Come July, these are all being taken off sale.
Yeah, which is ridiculous.
The minis, there hasn't been a mini release for over 2 years.
Yeah, but they're all still available.
All of the old minis are still available to download and buy.
So it just makes you wonder what quite they're thinking of with this, because you're taking away 400 titles. Is it 400?
Yeah,
400
it's titles? Over 400 titles.
Why?
Yeah, I mean, it's hurting the Vita's catalogue for starters. I mean,
yeah,
you know, people are crying out for new Vita games. Whether they're mobile, PSP, minis, or native Vita titles, they are still games that run on the Vita.
Yeah.
So it's taking all those titles away from the Vita for starters.
Yeah.
All of these developers that put time and money into writing these games are now being told, thanks for all your work, thanks for giving all these games to the Vita, now go away, we don't want your games, and you're not going to earn any more money for your work.
Yeah.
That's a nice way of putting it as well.
I'm trying to be diplomatic without saying what I really think.
Understandable.
But there's been some... I mean, these guys have put so much work into their games, and even if there's a games I don't particularly like, you've still got to respect the programmers for putting the time and the effort into it.
Yeah, exactly. And Unity was a massive thing. I mean, being able
bringing Unity in was a big deal.
Yeah. Yeah, it seems quite strange that, you know, a year down the line, it's all been switched off. It's like, I don't get it.
Yeah, I mean, Unity made no sense. There were people that shunned PlayStation Mobile because there was no trophy support, no leaderboard support. Then Sony introduced leaderboards, which was great.
And then they took them away again.
Yeah, I mean, they asked developers to go back, update their games, add leaderboards. A lot did, so games started to feature them. Suddenly, developers were finding that their game sales were increasing, players were playing their games more. Then suddenly, they were told, no, we're scrapping leaderboards, go back, update your games, take the leaderboards out again. And again, it was another slap in the face.
Yeah.
I mean, one that springs to mind straight away was Trolley Bird, which was the Flappy Bird clone.
Right.
And yeah, I hear the groans now. Got a low Flappy Bird, but it was a great fun game. Yeah, another one of my guilty pleasures. But I love playing that game. Okay, the fact that I was kind of in the top 10 on the leaderboards beside the point. But
yeah, Beck, you were really impressed with the leaderboards that disappeared then.
But you know, there were some people that managed to come up with their own leaderboard system.
Yeah. But
having proper PSN leaderboards that linked in to your friends lists was a simple thing for Sony to have left in, and they didn't want to know.
Ugh.
But with trophies, there are people out there and gamers out there for whom trophies are very important, and and there are gamers who will not touch games if there aren't trophies attached.
Yeah.
Hello, Ben.
Hold on. Not that bad.
But there are people out there that are very trophy centric for games, and who do see trophies as being a very important part of their gaming experience.
Yeah.
I've seen it on the PlayStation blog where developers are talking about their new games or games that are coming out. And some people, the first thing they'll say when they're posting is, does it have a platinum trophy? And it's like, it doesn't make any difference, you know. What about the game? What's the game like? And but there are people I've actually spoken to on the blog, and as soon as I mentioned talk about PlayStation Mobile, it's like, I'm not going to bother about PlayStation Mobile, there's no trophies.
Yeah.
And it's like,
weird.
No. I can tell Ben's itching to jump in and say something about trophies now.
No, no, not at all.
But actually, as someone who does, I mean, trophies do mean a lot to you in games. So, but how does that make you feel about PlayStation Mobile?
I've kind of learnt to leave them be, sort of. It's quite weird. I've pumped hours into Front Wars. And I know I've pumped a good amount of time into Gun House. Galatea was another one. And I felt absolutely fine playing them with no trophies at all. I mean, Galatea had its own in-game sort of a reward system anyway.
Yeah.
But, the other games, they didn't have trophies. I mean, admittedly, I play through quite a few games and I go looking for certain trophies. With the mobile games, it's not as bad. Maybe it's me. I've learnt to live without them on that front. I don't know, but I've played some fantastic games. It doesn't really bother me about them at all, not having trophies. Whereas usually I would, as soon as I've completed the game 100% or I've platinumed a game, say, I would say, right, that's it. Off you go. Away you go. And I'd probably never see it again. Or if it's a physical game, I'd probably sell it afterwards. And I would never touch it again.
No, I mean, I just wondered really, because obviously, I mean, trophies do seem to be something that's quite important to you for in games. As with PlayStation Mobile not having trophies, how that would, you know, whether it is something that you can actually look at PlayStation Mobile differently, which a lot of gamers don't seem to be able to.
I suppose to start with, I would look at it differently.
Did you struggle at first?
Yeah, I admit I struggled at first. But again, also, I think some games appealed to me more than others. I could see a lot of endless runners on there, say, for example, endless runners that are not my favorite of games. A lot of puzzle games on there that, again, I'm not massively into puzzle games, but when you see things like Gun Commando, yeah, I'll use that as an example, or again Gun House, which is completely odd, it's completely different, and like I said, Front Wars, which is just, it's like Advance Wars, that sort of thing appeals to me. And it's almost as if they don't need trophies. I admit, they don't need them. It's something that I think has just crept in. Obviously, Microsoft had their gamer points. Sony wanted trophies as well. And I think it's more people want like an instant, a reward. I can't remember the right phrase for it. But people want something instant.
Yeah.
Something there, bang. Oh, I've got a trophy. Wow, I feel great. But then I think after a while, some people are, I haven't got a trophy for a while. And they look at their friends. Their friends have got so many trophies. And it all feeds into this social aspect of it, I think, where people want to beat their friends. They want to have more trophies than them or more gamer score or whatever you want to call it. But I sort of sat back with the mobile games after a while. And as you're going through them, you start to look at things differently. And the trophies don't matter quite so much anymore. And I think, personally, myself, I've become less bothered by trophies. They still are kind of important. Like I said, if I've completed a game 100% and platinumed it, I will sell it, and that's it. But I can enjoy games more without trophies as well now. It doesn't have to have a trophy, it doesn't have to have platinum trophies. It doesn't have to have any trophies of any description for me to enjoy it anymore.
Well, there's another selling point for PlayStation Mobile. It's rejuvenation for those who have got trophy fever.
Yeah. I've seen the light.
Yes.
I've been healed.
Rehab. This is the perfect trophy rehab system. Oh, I'm sorry. Have I broken you?
I'm so glad we got all that recorded that you said all of that.
No, it's okay. I just I was just laughing. I know Simon likes to have a dig every now and again at trophies and that.
No, really?
Yeah. Like I said,
you know me. I've been playing games there since the 70s, and to me, the whole sort of trophy obsession thing, for a lot of people, it is beyond me. Starting out with the Pong clones, then obviously VIC-20, Commodore 64, trophies didn't exist.
Yeah.
And, no. You know, we live without them in the 70s. We live through the 80s without them. We live through the 90s without them. You know, PS1, PS2 didn't have them. PS3 didn't have them for a while.
Got and through most of 2000 without them, to be fair.
We didn't, you know, we still enjoyed the games just as much back then. And the second the trophies came along, suddenly a game that didn't have trophies was bad. And, you know,
that aspect I can't understand myself. To say a game is bad because it has no trophies, I can't understand that.
Apparently, Lego Star Wars: The Complete Saga isn't worth playing.
I wouldn't. I can't understand that at all.
Yeah, but that's the logic that I've fought against online. That because a game has no trophies, it is bad. Therefore, it should not be played or looked at.
I know. Trophies are big, but. Yeah. I can't understand that point of view that a game is bad simply because it has no trophies. That it isn't the case. Yeah. As you've said, we've lived without them for such a long time, and they are a relatively new thing to come in.
I tell you what did miff me off is when they came in, the fact that you'd already done all the stuff to get the trophy, and then they introduced trophy support on certain games, and it means I can't get those trophies now. It's like, I can't get all the trophies on Burnout Paradise. I can't get all the trophies on Wipeout HD. I'm like, really?
I spent ages trying to beat one specific time on Wipeout HD just to get one trophy. Yeah. And I went into my wife afterwards. I was crying and I said, my God, finally I've done it. And I look at it now and I laugh at myself thinking, why were you like that? How could it possibly be that bad that it meant that much to you? But it did at the time. It's really strange how it works.
Yeah.
No, the best was when you came round and actually saw the PlayStation TV for the first time, and then shown in Joe Danger, and he looked at the, you know, he did something, got a trophy, then started panicking because he got a trophy on my Visa, on my account.
That's right. Yeah.
He started panicking, and thought he was going to be in trouble, and I was going to be pissed off at him.
I'll let you into a secret. We borrowed a PlayStation 4 and I let the kids loose on Knack on my user. Excellent.
No, that's usually when I get a new game, I use Drive Club as an example. I bought Drive Club last week after hearing that everything was normal. I let the kids on it because the boys, they like racing games.
Yeah.
One of them got a trophy in it, and I thought, "What? What are you doing? Wait! Stop! Don't play anymore. It's got to be me that gets the trophy."
To be fair, you do get a trophy for loading the game. Pretty much so.
Yeah, I think it was the first thing they did, and the trophy popped, and I literally just froze and looked at them in horror. What have you done? That's it.
Oh, Rockbosch's DX is like that on the Vita.
All right, you load it. It's like, well done, you bought the game trophy.
Well, sort of, because it's no. When you load it up, it kind of comes up like a Spectrum loader.
Oh,
and you can either skip it to actually press X or whatever to actually go into the game to go to the title screen, or if you sit there and leave it to actually. Take a few minutes as if it was a Spectrum. You get a trophy for letting it just go all the way through.
Just when you thought it was safe to make a cup of tea, it's Invader load. Sorry, am I showing my age?
So if you let it load, if you let it act like a Spectrum and load for the full 3 minutes or whatever, it gives you a trophy for doing it. I just let it just because I was curious to see what happened. to see if it did do anything after 3 minutes. Then it just pops up, yeah, you got a trophy. It's like, oh,
God. No, I think you had a good look at that trophy list beforehand, didn't you? You knew.
But it's one of those hidden ones, but it's like, but for me, I just turn the notifications off for the trophies because I just can't be bothered with them.
Can I just as a quick aside, Simon, thank you. I've now got the ocean loading music stuck in my head.
Which one?
God, about three of them trying to play at the same time from the Commodore 64.
Yeah, because I think they did, they did six different versions, obviously.
Yeah, I've got the Robocop one's the main one.
getting slightly distracted.
Slightly distracted, yeah. But it's well, Commodore 64. Let's talk about bedroom programming here for a second.
Yeah, I mean, this is the thing. I mean, there's one guy, I can't remember who it was I was talking to on Twitter. He wrote a couple of PlayStation Mobile titles.
Yeah.
He's now got a developer license for the PS4.
Right.
So he's working on a title properly.
Yeah.
We've already touched on the games that have been converted to the PS Vita and PS4. Life of Pixels coming out on the PS Vita.
Yay!
Wolf Wozniak is talking to quite a few PSM developers who've been using Unity.
Yeah.
To try and get some of their games coming out as regular Vita titles now.
Yeah, which would be fantastic.
I do hope that happens.
So there's games on the way. I know Mike Oliphant is hoping to bring out some of the Quiet Please series as native Vita titles.
Cool.
Which would be brilliant to see them re-released.
How easy is it on Unity to add trophy support, seriously speaking? Is it quite an easy thing to do, do we know?
I would presume that adding trophy support should be quite easy. It's not so much the games themselves. I think it's being
sort
able
of like
to...
A wrapper, link, isn't it?
It's basically linking into the network.
Yeah, quite. Because at the end of the day, this is the thing, is Unity is quite an important little piece of tech, because... as a piece of software, that allows you to develop a game that can then be compiled for PlayStation 4, PlayStation 3, and the Vita from one code base.
There's slightly different variations, I think, with PS4 and... Well, the Vita PS4 and PS3, I think, work slightly differently. Mm. From what I've seen with developers, it's a lot easier working with the PS4 and the Vita than it is to involve the PS3.
Yes, because of that would make sense.
So what a lot of developers seem to do certainly on the indie side, they seem to work with the Vita and the PS4. They don't bother with the PS3 these days.
Which is a shame, I think.
So, but, because I know, I mean, I think it was Richard Ogden who wrote Minutes. He actually said it only took him about a week to port from the... I think it was either from the Vita to the PS4 or the PS4 to the Vita. You see, it took about a week to do it, to the conversion.
Yeah, quite.
So I think what we're more likely to see is Vita PS4 ports between the two. But I'm quite happy to get
that.
This
is the thing. That's the thing with the PlayStation 4 is it's essentially a PC.
Mm.
Inside that's one of the major benefit of that being. Porting things to the PlayStation 4 is a lot easier, whereas the PlayStation 3 was like the most complicated piece of hardware Sony could possibly have come up with. It's like comparing that with the Xbox 360 was like comparing the Amiga to the ST.
Yeah,
it was just like, how different could this be using the same basic processor core?
Well, it was custom chip city, wasn't it? The PS3, which was. It was its strength, it was a strength but a weakness at the same time.
Strength of hardware, weakness of development.
Yeah.
Just like the Amiga was to start with, at least.
Yeah, I mean, anyway, almost back on track with PSM. Mm-hmm. I think the biggest problem it had in terms of the games, I mean, Sony's definitely made money out of PlayStation Mobile. I mean, from the sales figures I've seen from individual developers, trying to extrapolate that across the entire range and what I know has been popular and hasn't, I think Sony have made a comfortable seven-figure sum in terms of profit on PlayStation Mobile, so they can't say it hasn't been worth doing. But the big issue, I think, has been the visibility of it in the promotion.
What visibility and promotion?
Yeah. I mean, on the PlayStation blog, certainly Europe, in the weekly updates, it took them best part of 2 years, I think, to actually acknowledge PlayStation Mobile release.
And that's only because you nagged them.
That's beside the point.
Yeah, let's be honest. You nagged them until they did it, and they give it up again within a few weeks, hadn't they?
Well, I did badger them every week and so,
okay.
until they finally sort of did it. And then I think they had a week or two off. And then I think a couple of the developers joined in and started hassling them. And then they did start actually listing the titles. And now they do that every week.
Yeah, okay, cool.
But in the actual... I mean, there's no mention of PlayStation Mobile in the web-based store, on the PS3 store. So the only place you can get them is going onto your Vita.
Yeah.
Then they're hidden away in a tab. They're not searchable.
No, which is ridiculous.
Which, yeah, so that's burying them even further. And out of all the titles that have been released, only one has ever been listed and featured in the main, you know, in the main part of the Vita store. Only one PlayStation Mobile title has ever been seen there.
Yet, shockingly, every PlayStation Mini title is searchable and so on and so forth.
I mean,
it's just like.
I mean, if a new Mini comes out, that was always featured in the front part of the store as a regular title.
Exactly.
But only one PlayStation Mobile title was ever featured there.
Ugh, which one was it?
Euphoria Adventures.
Oh, okay.
But that's the only one out of, what, 450, 500 titles?
Yeah.
And it's why?
Yeah, exactly.
So. The majority of people don't know PlayStation Mobile titles exist. They don't know what's coming out. To find out if there's a new release, you have to go into the PlayStation Mobile section, go into the new releases section. It's madness.
Clunky, say the least.
Yeah, so I have to go through three or four steps in the menu to actually find a new release. Then they mix in the updates in with the new releases. So, again, you can't tell if something's new or an update.
Yeah,
there's no automated updating system for the games like there is with the Vita, PS3, PS4.
Yeah.
So again, yeah, you have to update games manually. The whole thing was a mess.
Yeah. Cool.
So you have to persevere with it, but when you
didn't have to be that way,
it shouldn't have been. But it's still worth tracking down the good games. I mean, that's why we've got this series on the site at the moment. That's going to be going on for the next couple of months, saying, here are some great games, don't miss out on them while you still can. But it's such a shame that it's come to this.
Yeah, exactly. But the problem we've got now is that Sony have now made the decision, they are going ahead with the closure, and nothing's going to stop them doing that now, because nothing else, they don't want to lose face.
Yeah.
The question is where do we go from this point? Now, there are important things about PlayStation Mobile. I mean, going around the three of us, Simon, what do you think is the most important part of PlayStation Mobile?
I'd say the most important part has been encouraging new developers.
Yeah.
I mean, you know me, I've always wanted to support small developers and indie developers, but, I mean, we've got that background as well. I mean, right from the Amiga days, we were...
Yeah.
To a degree, we were developers on the Amiga with the stuff we used to do.
True.
And so, you know, we've been there. We know what it's like. And you need to get that sort of break to be able to carry on and do what you want to do. I mean, to try to keep it brief, there was two kids at school back in the 80s.
Right.
Two brothers decided to write a couple of games at home and on the Commodore 64, I think. Mm-hmm. Sent them to a small sort of budget software company. They got released, sold through newsagents, supermarkets, that sort of thing.
Yep.
Then they decided, after releasing a few games, to set up their own company with their dad's help.
Yeah.
Started that company, did well, released some of their own games, started releasing some other games from other developers, basically taking on games similar to the stuff that they were writing.
Yep.
At that point, I think they were about 17 and 19 or something.
Right.
Their company grew and grew and grew. Codemasters.
Well, exactly.
But if it wasn't for those two brothers, Richard and David Darling,
mm-hmm.
when they were like sort of 14, 15 at school, getting yeah. that first break, Codemasters wouldn't exist.
Exactly.
I mean, I know they've both moved on since then. They've gone off to other companies now, but it was having that opportunity in the first place to have been published. Mm-hmm. And the old 8-bit software companies that would take games from individuals at home, writing games in their bedrooms, is the equivalent of what PlayStation Mobile is, and things like the Android store and the iOS store letting anyone publish games.
Yeah, exactly.
And yeah, that's needed desperately.
Quite. I mean, Ben, with you mentioned the price of that strategy game that you were playing. I mean, do you feel that the Vita needs a range of games that are less than the $7.99 that seems to be the general bottom shelf as far as normal Vita games are concerned?
There's definitely room for them. It's nice to have a little sort of snack, something that will cost you like the same price as a Snicker or a Mars bar, and yet it will last you...
Or any other snack bar, I must add. No advertising here.
Sorry, of course. Yeah, my fault, my bad. But,
lasts as long as my stick of dairy milk.
use any combo there.
Yes, yes. Dairy milk with Oreo. ew. Go on.
As I sit here drinking my glass of Coke Zero, let's get all the product placements out of the way now, shall we?
So drink coloured carbonated water then. Caffeine-free Diet Coke. Why? But yes, okay, bite-sized gaming.
Yeah, there's definitely room for smaller games, and also some of these mobile games are also very experimental, or they can do things that haven't been done before, or just so different to, you know, your average third-person, first-person shooter or your annual sports series. Passing Time, for example.
Yeah.
Passing Time is a good example of, you know, a pretty decent... I suppose that you'd say it's like a retro-style football game, but you've not got anything like that at the moment on any... of the big consoles, and so I think there is definitely room for them.
Yeah,
especially if you get someone that, or a company that makes Switch Galaxy Ultra, and then goes on to publish something on PS4, Vita, or anything in the future. That's got to be a good thing.
Exactly. Now, I mean, this is the thing: is in the past on PlayStation Portable PSP, we had the Minis, which incidentally also worked on the PlayStation 3. And now work on the Vita, and the Vita TV, for that matter, in most cases. Why haven't we got something that offers... I mean, this is the thing. Once PlayStation Mobile's gone, we've got nothing where you can pick up a £1, £2 game, which is a massive problem when you've got a handheld platform that is trying to compete against iOS and Android.
Yeah, I mean, to me, that's just a madness. I mean, okay, you've got the cheaper Minis...
Yeah.
I mean, you've got the bottom end of the price scale, but in terms of capabilities, they're all running at PSP resolutions.
Yeah.
But when you look at the mobile, the bulk of them are written at native Vita resolutions.
Yeah.
So, you know, and that to me is kind of, you know, a lot of them can, you know, some of the better ones, yeah, you know, they feel like Vita games.
Yeah.
And... So yeah, the only way you can get cheaper games, you're kind of downgrading the tech.
Yeah, exactly.
And nah, I mean, it kind of leaves me speechless, really, to sort of think at what, you know, whether someone at Sony's just decided, okay, PlayStation Mobile, it's not working, it's not getting the exposure that we want, let's pull the plug.
Yeah.
And without actually looking at the whole ramifications right across the board, you know, losing all these programmers and developers, losing a massive catalogue of games. I mean, there's PSM developers now who are thinking the only way they can actually get access to a developer program is to move over to the Xbox.
Yeah, which is crazy. That's just not on.
Potentially we are going to lose developers completely from the PlayStation ecosystem.
Yeah, exactly. Now, with I don't know if you're aware, Unity 5's now out.
Yeah.
And there is still a personal version of it. So unless you're working in hundreds of thousands of pounds, you can use Unity to develop a game, and they'll just ask for like a fee if you go past that post. And it just makes you wonder, hello Sony, you know, what's going on here? It's a case of we literally could have hundreds of developers up and down just the UK producing content for this console. I mean, I don't know if you guys saw. Did you guys see my blog on the main site about this?
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, the whole idea, my idea about PSN bytes, or if we could call it Vita bytes, or something like that, where you literally could have a mobile style pricing structure for games that are under a certain size, so say 250 meg or something. And the thing is that it wasn't just games on PlayStation Mobile, was it? There was some apps as well.
Yeah, I mean, that's something else that developers tried to do. They looked at what Sony were providing in terms of the Vita's hardware, and they were looking to fill in the gaps. I mean, the Vita's got no comic reader.
Yeah.
And Mike Oliphant from No Static Software thought, that's wrong, the Vita needs a comic reader. He wrote one.
Yeah.
It's not compatible with things like Comixology or anything, but he wrote this to be compatible with the standard sort of CBR files,
right?
Which is, you know, and about a couple of other different comic formats.
Yeah.
So as long as you can get the public domain comic files, it works.
Yeah.
And it's not a bad little comic viewer.
Right.
And the way you can store it is basically link into your Dropbox account, which he's got an automated process for connecting to that.
That's brilliant.
Access your Dropbox. So upload your comic files to that. Access your Dropbox through your Vita. And then it'll download the comic onto your Vita. And then you just read it from that.
That's fantastic. I mean, this is the thing.
It works brilliantly.
Surely, if Sony had the sense to make this kind of thing available for a minis type product range, specifically for the Vita and the PlayStation TV, let's be honest, would it really be a massive problem for them if suddenly PDF readers turned up and maybe a better music player?
I don't think anyone's done a PDF reader, but there are a couple of notepad apps. There's calculators.
Yeah.
There were a couple of calendars, although obviously when Sony brought out the calendar, they became redundant. There's been weather apps, there's been something for almost everything.
But the thing is if Sony had, this is the thing, was PlayStation Mobile's gone, you won't be seeing anything like that coming, because it's too much of a risk to try and develop it when you're going to be charging a minimum of, say, $7.99, which seems to be pretty much the base price. For normal Vita content.
I'm not sure if there's any guidelines from Sony in terms of a minimum pricing structure, but...
Because I'm not sure how the fees work on that, but obviously the fee structure on PlayStation Mobile was significantly different to enable bedroom coders.
I think the way it worked is programmers could basically set their own price. They would basically set a wholesale price that they sold their software to Sony for. And then Sony would obviously add the sort of the markup, and then that's what would set the price.
Right. But that way, at least we saw stuff at 99p, 199, so on and so forth.
I mean, the lowest PlayStation Mobile could go to in the UK was 40p.
Yeah.
There were free titles, but there was a guideline that there had to be some form of monetization in it.
Yeah.
So developers could either sell the titles at 40p.
Yeah,
that's the lowest UK price, or free, but there would have to be some form of income involved somewhere.
Yeah.
So there would have to be some sort of effectively free to play concept.
Yeah, quite.
So even if it was just a case of here's a bit of bonus content, pay if you want, but trying to keep it as optional as possible if someone wanted to give away a free app on PlayStation Mobile.
Yeah.
There's workarounds that they could have done to have something completely free.
Yeah.
It's like, here's a free app, send us 40p and you get a new piece of background artwork or something. And
yeah.
And that would actually get round the you can't give it away free rules.
Yeah.
silly as it sounds, but that's how that would be the way to do it.
Yeah. Exactly. But it's. I mean, this is the thing. Is at the end of the day, they need to offer an easy way in for your bedroom coders, people starting off. They need to have a range of games that are small and a lower price. So, you know, Sony, you really are shooting yourself in the foot in a massive, massive way. And just ending the development of developers.
Yeah.
Essentially, which just is mind-boggling.
Yeah, I mean, having a replacement needed to be in place right from the start.
Yeah.
Keeping the cost down for at the end customer as well is important. But I mean, we all end up having a little bit of spare cash in our PSN accounts all the time. I think, even if it's just a few pence here and there.
Yeah.
But what I always end up doing, if I've got, say, you know, £1 or £2 left in my account, the first thing I do is go straight to the mobile section.
Yeah.
You know, see if there's anything left and maybe pick up a couple of 40p titles or, you know, titles costing £1 or less.
Yeah.
And that's where that market is what Sony needs to capitalise on.
Mm. Exactly.
You know, and okay, the developers may not benefit from an individual 40p sale or an individual 99p sale, but all of those add up.
Yeah.
So it's PlayStation Mobile and Minis. It's the volume that actually builds up to keep the developers going.
Yeah, exactly. I've just had a look, actually. There are games from £1.69 on Vita, but they're all really old by the looks of things.
Mm.
So I'm just wondering, you know, hello Sony. I mean, this is the thing, guys. What do you want to see happen from say beginning of August onwards? Because July is basically when we lose this, isn't it?
Yeah. I'm hoping that first thing I'm hoping is that some developer or developers will get together and be able to develop a wrapper engine to take the existing PlayStation Mobile range and adapt it so they will run on the Vita.
Yeah.
So the current library, or as much of it as possible that's worthy of being preserved, can be and reissued as Vita titles.
Yeah, that would help.
So instead of having to recode them from scratch, the good stuff can just be taken and just reissued as Vita titles.
Yeah.
The developers that are working on Unity games right now, they can get support they need to release their games on the Vita as native titles. So again, I'd like to see something happen along those lines. Beyond that point, I think it's a case of see some sort of replacement system and try and get the creative talents that tapped into, I think, that's actually out there.
Exactly. And Ben, did you play a few of the PlayStation Minis did you have a PSP?
Yeah, no, I got quite a few of them through on PlayStation Plus, actually, to be honest, when it was first going, and they gave away quite a few minis, things like Field Runners or Stickman Rescue, a couple of my personal favourites. I agree with Simon, and obviously yourself, when it comes to a replacement service, there needs to be something, whatever they decide to do. There needs to be something to replace what's, you know, PlayStation Mobile. I'd like to see if there isn't going to be a replacement, and admittedly this is before your August deadline, I'd like to actually see a lot of developers turn around and say, all right, fine, we're not going to make much more money out of these, let's slash the games to the lowest possible, and let's hope that, you know, let's try and get some people buying these games now while they still can. Because I think if you're only going to have a game for a month or so, maybe. Obviously, you could keep them on Content Manager or on your memory cards as long as it's as your Vita is enabled to play mobile games. But if you're only going to play it maybe for a month or so, you don't mind paying 40p, 50, 60, 70p for a game. that may only last you a couple of weeks, maybe. And, you know, and maybe they could do that, maybe, if there was nothing going to happen in the future, nothing to replace PSM. But I would like to see something, whether it's everything being ported over as a native title. Probably won't happen, but something needs to replace this, because we've got a lot of really good games. Sorry, go on.
I'm just going to, if we can just, as a trio, if we're just going to call on Sony, for heaven's sake, help these guys do a wrapper so these things can be re-released.
Yeah.
And do something to support brand new developers and have a sort of like an entry-level scheme.
Yes.
Where you have the same kind of fee structure or whatever as PlayStation Mobile, or maybe some tweaks, make it a little bit more viable, and allow people to be developing not only games but applications for the various things the Vita can do that it can't at the moment, because that piece of hardware is actually a lot more capable than most people give it credit for.
Yeah, basically, we just want to keep the bedroom programmers on the Vita so they don't go anywhere else.
Exactly. Yep. Because the thing is there isn't that many places for them to go. I mean, the problem is with Microsoft's program is it's a little bit draconian in places. You have got, I mean, they can go to iOS and they can go to Android, but when you're having to work with the lowest common denominator on the hardware you're running that on, it's never going to give you the kind of freedom that the Vita gives you.
Well, exactly. I mean, it's fixed hardware. It's always brings out the best in sort of developers, anyway, doesn't it?
Yeah.
I mean, and just look at the, look at the Commodore 64. What developers were getting out of that?
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
Now.
Well,
getting out of it now.
Well, I mean, look at. I mean, you mentioned TXK earlier, and look what Jeff Minter was getting out of the Commodore 64.
Exactly.
Yeah, I think there's still a lot of work to be done, I think, with the aftermath, I think, and the clean-up sort of operation with PlayStation Mobile.
Yeah.
But even though it doesn't have a future, I think there's still no reason to write off its games yet. I mean, there's a lot that's come out. There's games that shouldn't be forgotten about.
Yeah, I mean, it's been a ridiculous situation that since the announcement, you've actually had a couple of weeks where there's been double the amount of games on PlayStation Mobile and were on the Vita.
Well, yeah, I mean, that's the thing. There's been so many games coming out for PlayStation Mobile. As like you said, I mean, there's more titles, more PSM titles released in the last few weeks than there have been for the Vita. And I mean, I lose track, really, of keeping on top of PSM games at the moment. And there's so many good games out there. And the number of people out there, I mean, you could ask 100 Vita owners how many PlayStation Mobile games they've either got or played, and most of them would just look at you and they wouldn't have played a single one.
Yeah, they don't have a clue what you're going on about, which is a shame.
And they are missing out on some great stuff.
Absolutely.
And hopefully, over the next sort of, well, okay, we've done the first week's worth on the site now, and hopefully over the next 90 odd days we'll be able to fill people in on some of the other stuff that's worth getting out there.
So keep your eyes on the Vita Player website at www.vitaplayer.co.uk. So any further comments, or shall we wrap it up there?
I think we've probably covered everything for PlayStation Mobile for this time.
Yeah.
Right, well, thank you for listening to this second podcast from Vita Player, and we hope we'll be back soon.
Yeah, if any of you got any other comments, questions, or you just generally want to tell us how awful we are, just email us at contact@vitaplayer.co.uk.
Next time, we're not quite sure what we're going to be doing. We're still talking to some developers. You never know, we might have an interview. We'll just see what develops, because, to be honest, we were thinking about doing a PlayStation Mobile one anyway, and then all this happened, and we were like, oh, okay. Yeah, there's a lot to, a lot of detail to go into, and of course with the price drop on the PlayStation TV, that had to be covered. So yeah, come back and see us and see what we're talking about.
Anyway, as with last time, the music in the show is called 8-Bit Rocktronic, and is by Edward Blakely, and that's supplied by shockwavesound.com.
Anyway, so thank you for listening, and catch us again soon. Bye-bye.